Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Stories, lively and direct from the production studios at community radio station KHMB, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. This podcast is a collection of news stories from CoastSideNews.com, publishers of the Half Moon Bay Review and the Pacifica Tribune. This podcast is a collaboration between the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement, Coastside News, and KHMB Radio. I'm David Gorn. Hey, thanks for checking out Our Stories. We love doing this show, and we're getting such good feedback. People loved the Foghorn story from last week. Just loved it. So our goal is to top that one this week. Now, just like we do every week, there's another group out there that's putting together plans to entertain you. In this case, building a set that's inspired by the Globe Theater in Avon, England.
I am Christopherio Sly. Call me not
to put on Shakespeare in the Park at the brand spanking new Carter Park in Half Moon Bay.
By birth, a peddler, by education.
Now, we'll have more on that later.
Transmutation, a bear herd, and now by present.
I said later, dude. Pipe down already. Okay, so first up for us is something I am personally really excited about. You know how there's pretty much no beach at Surfers Beach anymore? The water is lapping against Highway 1, and there's just a narrow spit of land below the cliffs there. But that is about to change. I went out to meet Jim Pruitt at his office in El Granada. He's the general manager of the San Mateo County Harbor District. Pruitt has an impressive history. He's a local guy with a career in the Coast Guard, including running the 11th Coast Guard District for 4 western states and about 3 million square miles of offshore waters. That's something, don't you think? Now, just a quick aside. In his office, he has a bowl full of medals on a table from all his years in the Coast Guard. It's the coolest thing. Anyway, I talked to him about the harbor's project going on this week that will dredge Pillar Point Harbor and move all of that dredged sand to Surfers Beach, eventually moving about 75,000 cubic yards of sand and restoring Surfers Beach back to, well, a beach again. So, Jim Pruitt. I know the harbor's been planning this project for a long time, but when people see all that machinery come out, they often feel like, hey, what's going on here? Because they didn't really see it coming. So, hey, what's going on here?
Well, the project, as you mentioned, has been in the works for over a decade now to dredge the harbor. And the reason we have to dredge the harbor is because the harbor gets silted in from sand washing into the breakwater, and also one of the major sources, Deer Creek, brings down hundreds of cubic yards of sand over time.
Right.
And it's filled in the harbor. So the harbor district needed to dredge the harbor. Also, the breakwater has also caused the Surfers Beach to disappear due to the change in wave action. So it was a win-win for the harbor and for Surfers Beach if we could take the sand that would have otherwise be on Surfers Beach naturally, do it mechanically with dredging to rebuild Surfers Beach.
So the big concern everyone has is you're getting sand from the harbor floor. Isn't that sand kind of gross? I mean, we're all going to be sitting on that sand, so how clean is it?
Well, the sand inside the harbor has been tested multiple times and is clean. The water coming into the harbor from the creeks does have a high level of bacteria in it, but that bacteria is not reaching the sand out in the harbor. The harbor sand's been tested, it's been cleaned, it's been tested multiple times, because we're not going to take contaminated sand and soil and put it on the beach. So it's clean sand.
Now, I see the machinery down there. It's happening this week, which is very exciting. But how much disruption will there be along that coastal trail?
So we'll be dredging that sand and placing it directly onto Surfers Beach with the dredge pipes. We won't be cutting down the coastal trail for any length of time, just 1 hour here, 1 hour there to get the pipe across. But otherwise, it'll go over the breakwater onto Surfers Beach.
Now, this is kind of an aside, but we recently had a tsunami warning on the coast. And one thing I know is, whenever we have a tsunami warning, everyone runs down to Surfers Beach to take a look. Anyway, it wasn't much of a tsunami. We saw the boats sort of shift up and down. But for this project, that tsunami did cause some damage. So tell me about that.
Well, the recent tsunami did affect the harbor. So the force of that tsunami did come in, did hit the breakwater, did come into our harbor. And that is a lot of water coming into the harbor. The harbor is going to take the path of least resistant to get that water to leave the harbor, and that's the mouth of the harbor. So when that water, that surge, was exiting the harbor, the current was extremely strong with all that water exiting, and it disrupted the foundations and temporary anchors.
So that's all fixed now. And this week, that's going to be the first time we see sand.
It could be, yes.
Siphoned onto Surfers Beach.
As we move the pipes around.
So, Jim Pruitt, you've thought about this project for a long time, planned this for a long time.
For 10 years.
Tell me how it feels to see it happen.
Fantastic. I got here in 2019 in December, and this project was already approved and moving forward. The damage to Surfers Beach down to Pilarcitos Creek, the excessive erosion, including Miramar, has been caused by the breakwater. The breakwater is a federal navigation project, so we want the Army Corps to do an investigation into how to address, to mitigate and prevent further erosion from the breakwater down to Pilarcitos.
And how likely is that to happen?
We're developing the scope of the study right now with the Army Corps, and once that scope is developed and approved, then we'll start funding the study and having the study.
So if I have this right, you're hoping to expand this effort in the future to include beach erosion all the way up to Pilarcitos Creek. Is that right?
This pilot project we're doing right now at Surfers Beach, it is a pilot project to see what happens to sand once we put it on the beach and see how long it stays and what the wave action will do. Because if you look at the original documents for the approval of the breakwater from the 1950s,
yep. It
states the breakwater will cause accelerated erosion, but that we're not going to address it at this time. So now we're asking it to be addressed.
Caltrans recently installed new steps out at Surfers. We're about to have a new beach.
Correct.
So when do people see the completed beach? Do you have an idea? Roughly.
You'll see a large portion of the dredging material being pushed over within a month.
And last thing, just so people understand, how long is this pipe that goes from the harbor floor over to Surfers Beach?
It's 1,000 foot of beach, I believe. So basically from the stairs, the new stairs that Caltrans put in, back to the breakwater.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much for talking to me.
Awesome. Thank you for coming in.
That was fun.
Okay, so after I came out of the Harbor District's offices in El Granada, I decided to take my microphone to Carter Park in Half Moon Bay, where the sets are almost finished and the actors are gearing up to officially open Carter Park to entertainment.
For God's sakes, a pot of small ale.
Will it please your lord drink a cup of sack?
Will it please your test to taste of these concerts?
The opening night is on Friday evening, August 15th. It's the first show in the newly renovated park, where a music and drama amphitheater was built by the city, including a stage, lights, speakers, a half circle of wide seating. A Half Moon Bay Shakespeare has first crack of the new space, and I pulled aside artistic director Debbie Lynn Carragher to talk about what it means to her, to the company, to the city residents, and really what it means to the city itself. We're also joined by one of the founders of Half Moon Bay Shakespeare, Lee Ellis. So, Debbie Lynn Carragher, tell me why this is going to be
an amazing show. Well, not only is it our first show back in Carter Park since the renovation, The Taming of the Shrew was the first show that Half Moon Bay Shakespeare Company ever produced. And so it's a nod to our history. It's a fun and raucous show overall, just the text. It's a farce and a comedy. You'll see the actors on stage. They're playing multiple roles. You'll see them put on costumes and get props out of trunks and hand each other props when people are on stage and need something. So it's
really Shakespeare in the park.
Yeah, really, more a nod to the way that Shakespeare's, you know, company did it.
Like, yeah, right.
We're all supporting each other. We're all on stage. We're all, you know, cheering each other on. You'll hear even the actors laughing at things and hissing and booing at things. And we hope that the audience joins us in that revelry.
I've always loved Shakespeare in the park. It feels like alive.
Well, in our set, we're here in Carter Park building the set today, and as we look over there, we can see it's kind of a pretty stark stage. There's a lot of space for the actors to move around and play in. We're going to paint it so that it is reminiscent of the Globe Theater in London. So those same colors and columns and marbleized, so just a little nod to our culture.
So the play itself, tell me about what people can expect when they come out here.
We're putting on a play for you, and it's going to be fun and exciting, and we love doing theater, and some come join us.
So this sort of larger picture of You are opening Carter Park.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It's been quite a struggle. Lee Ellis is here with me. She is our founding board member. Maybe she wants to talk about the origins of this journey.
Yes, it has been a really wonderful, remarkable journey. We founded Half Moon Bay Shakespeare Company in 2012 and did not have a theater. But 6 months later, we performed The Taming and the Shrew at Cameron's Pub.
Okay.
And then the third season, we went to the city of Half Moon Bay and asked to adopt Carter Park. And for all the years that we were in here, we maintained it with volunteers and kept it, and we performed here every year, building our own stage, building our own set.
Hauling in all the lights and sound equipment.
Hauling everything up and down. It was a lot of work, but you know, we were so excited about it, we honestly didn't really think about it as like hard work. It's, you know, when your heart is in something, it's easy to do. It's not only a home for us, but it's showing what a community center it is. It really brings community together. I think it's going to be a great uniting factor also.
A great community hub for the future,
yes,
definitely.
Yes.
So if I have the dates right, it's been about 6 years since you performed here. This renovation, I know, has had its share of setbacks.
There were delays because we have endangered frogs.
Oh, yeah.
They found some artifacts here from the Ohlone Indians.
Right. We had COVID, 2021.
The atmospheric river flooded the park, and so they had to redo some of the construction to raise the electrical boxes, so that didn't happen again.
Yeah. Yeah.
There will be more atmospheric rivers.
There will.
Yes, there will. Yeah, it's been a journey, but we've all learned a lot, and they've kept all the redwood trees.
Yeah, it's pretty here. It reminds me of the outdoor stage at Armstrong Redwoods up at Russian River. I saw Shakespeare there as a kid out among the trees, but I have to tell you, 5 or 6 years for a project of this size, right next to Habitat, it was actually done pretty quickly.
It felt like an eon to us.
Well, now you're here, and you've stood on that stage. You've looked out. What do you think?
It's really glorious, actually. When the majority of the construction was completed, I came here for a little tour. I stood on the stage and I did a monologue just to see what the sound was like. And without even really projecting, I was able to have clarity. And then when I was projecting, the sound was bouncing back at me. So I was like, oh, this is amazing.
So, Lee Ellis, you've put on a lot of Shakespeare productions in this park. So tell me how it's received. Tell me what a production here is like.
Year after year after year, they would come down the ramp towards the box office with the camp chairs on their back. They've already got their puffy coats.
Yeah.
They've got blankets. They've got beanies. And they've got picnic baskets,
yeah,
and wine. And they are ready. They know the drill. And we've even had contests for who had the coolest looking picnic. People would bring these little tables and have fake candles. And, you know, and we'd give a prize for that. So that's the spirit of it. It's like you're not, you know, getting dressed to the teeth to come. You're going to be warm and you're going to enjoy, you know, watching Shakespeare outdoors.
So, you know, you could just watch, I think it's Richard Burton, right?
Richard Burton and Liz Taylor.
So what is it about live?
Live theater is dynamic. Interacting with the actors, you know, that interaction between the actors and the audience creates a unique performance every time. Particularly with Shakespeare's plays, the invitation to participate is really wonderful.
Well, thank you both.
Well, thanks for coming down and meeting us here.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
That was really fun. Can't wait.
Good.
Really, seriously,
please.
Can't wait.
So the first production, again, is Friday, August 15th, and will run on every weekend until September 14th, with the exception of one weekend gap for the Labor Day holiday. And that will do it for this week. I would like to thank Jim Pruitt, Debbie Lynn Carragher, and Lee Ellis for making the time to talk to our stories about their stories. Thanks to the editors of Coastside News, Peter Tukofsky and Emma Spaeth. Thanks, of course, to KHMV radio station manager Jim Henderson and engineer Jay Michaels. Thanks to Coastal Lit for the ongoing support. And we'll do it again in 2 weeks on KHMV Radio, Wednesday at 6 p.m. on Spotify and other apps. And hopefully I'll see you out at the opening of Taming of the Shrew. Adios.